Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
TIZO stands for titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. In other words, their commitment to mineral sun protection is right in the name. TIZO is known for having a unique line of all mineral sunscreens with different textures and finishes that cater to every skin type and tone. Sunscreen application may seem burdensome, but with TIZO, it doesn't have to be. Their sunscreens have been meticulously crafted to seamlessly fit into your daily routine. Whether it is saving a step in the morning with an SPF that doubles as a makeup primer, or giving your skin a glow before running errands, TIZO has you covered. All TIZO sun protection formulas have broad spectrum protection and are 100% free of chemical sunscreens, dyes, parabens, gluten, preservatives, fragrances, and phthalates. Check out TIZO's mineral sunscreens and so much more at TIZOskin.com. That's TIZOskin.com. Shop with code LISTEN10 to receive 10% off your first order.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
And welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am nothing short of thrilled to be joined by Josh Dubow of the Associated Press. But more importantly, perhaps, is graduate of the University of Michigan, the school that has the number one football team in the country, the school where it is us versus everybody. Beth, Josh, welcome to the show.
Great to be here. It's my first time on the Tracy Sandler Show when Michigan is number one in the country. So there you go. It's a big day.
It is a very big day. It is very exciting. And the Rose Bowl is coming up. We're gonna talk about Michigan a little bit. You guys, in case you missed it, the Michigan Wolverines put a beat down on the Iowa Hawkeyes on Saturday evening in the Big Ten Championship, their third straight Big Ten Championship. But that preceded a 49ers beatdown of the Philadelphia Eagles. I hope you guys enjoyed how I did a little segue there. So before we get into Michigan, let's talk about that. Josh, I really thought that game, I did think the 49ers were going to win, but I thought that was going to be a much closer game.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a lot closer than that. And for about a quarter, it looked like it might be a close game. And then, yeah, that was quite a performance, both sides of the ball, but especially offensively after those first two drives. They were pretty much unstoppable all the way through.
They were unstoppable all the way through. And then, well, there's a few things I want to talk about. Let's start with offense because you brought that up. And I was actually talking to my dad before we came on, and he said, man, a healthy Deebo Samuel is like got to be one of the most incredible talents ever. And we certainly saw it on Sunday. He had a hell of a game. And, you know, the thing is, too, and sometimes this happens, there was some trash talk that went on really after the NFC Championship game earlier in the offseason. They were pretty careful about it this week, at least publicly. But Deebo was kind of leading that charge, understandably so, made a fair point that if the 49ers had a quarterback, that would have been a much more competitive NFC Championship game. But then goes out there and totally just...
He might have said a little more than that.
He may have said a little more than that. He may have called James Bradbury trash. He may have done that. Things that were said, but yes. It happens. And then the player goes out and just kind of like figuratively or literally falls on his face and doesn't play all that well. It was quite the opposite for the young Mr. Samuel on Sunday.
Yeah, that was a vintage Deebo game. You know, week in, week out, he may not be the most important player. You know, obviously McCaffrey and Ayuk and sometimes it's George Kittle, but like Deebo offers something that basically no one else in the league offers. What he can do when he's on, making those plays, just turning something short into long gains. He's basically, you can't tackle him. You could tell, I think, once he went back to return that opening kickoff, that it's like, okay, I'm going to return the kick. I'm going to do everything. Like, this is going to be, it's going to be my game. And he backed it up, and it was quite impressive.
The holiday season is off and rolling, with NFL in full stride and the NBA and NHL hitting midseason form. BetOnline is your number one destination for all your sports wagering info. With up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for everything pro and amateur sports. And not just the big four. BetOnline has info available at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access at any time for almost any sport that's played, from MMA to international soccer. Head to BetOnline today and remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. It really was quite impressive. When you think about that, this team has Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel on the same team. It's like, it's just bananas. Not to, of course, mention George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk. And then let's talk a little bit about Brock Purdy, because I think, you know, we've probably talked about this offline. Like, this discussion on whether he's a leader or not, like, who cares? He's playing at an incredible level on this team and they're winning. But you look at some of those throws, like the throw he threw to McCaffrey on Sunday. There was a throw to Ayuk last week. I mean, this guy may very well be an elite quarterback, and he certainly should be in the MVP conversation.
Yeah, I think especially that the throw he had, I thought maybe his best or most important throw was the one he had to Ayuk right after the whole Dre Greenlaw, Big Dom, kerfuffle, and the Eagles cut it to 21-13, and the crowd is going crazy, and the Niners are facing, I can't remember, third and eight, third and seven, something. Yeah, third and long. And he hits Ayuk on an out route, or, you know, he throws it before Ayuk breaks. It's perfectly thrown. It's perfect spot, perfect anticipation. And that's just sort of like a Brock Purdy throw. And like that play right there, and I think Deebo got the touchdown later on that drive, and basically it was game over at that point. But yeah, he keeps on delivering. But the only thing he hasn't done is he hasn't really had to lead a fourth quarter comeback. And part of the main reason why is because they've been putting up so many points in the first three quarters. So, I'm sure he'll be called on to do that at some point. But, you know, everything he's done so far has been outstanding. And today's our one-year anniversary of his first, him taking over as quarterback.
One can make the argument, we're not going to dwell much on this game for obvious reasons for the people on this call and the people listening. But he did sort of lead a fourth quarter comeback against Cleveland. It just was not to be. And we'll leave it at that. So, I would say
I have no idea what you're talking about.
But, I don't know that anybody really would know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what that means. So,
but at least he showed that he could do that. And actually, he kind of did too against Vegas last year. And then Robbie Gould missed the field goal. They went to overtime and won the game.
That's true.
But you're right. He's not done one where they've had to win in the game winning touchdown and all of the things. But I think that I have no doubt he could do it. I think it would be good for him to have to do it before the playoffs start, but not if they're going to keep winning like this. And I would say on Sunday, and I want to talk about defense too, but I think on Sunday, they really showed they are the best team in the league, at least right now. And a lot can happen. And we got some injury reports from Kyle Shanahan. It looks like Eric Armstead dealing with a foot and a knee issue coming out of the game, which I think was kind of the biggest one to come out. He said they're gathering more information. We'll know more on Wednesday. So no matter how serious or not serious that is, it just shows it's football. And like, you know, on the drop of a hat, everything could change. But right now at this moment in time, they're playing the best football, I believe, in the league. And going into this game, I really thought the Eagles might be the best team in the league. I thought the 49ers would win, but I thought the Eagles might be the best team, mainly because of kind of what we just talked about. They've had multiple fourth quarters where they've had and they win these like grimy games that the 49ers haven't won yet. But again, they're going to put up this many points. It really doesn't matter. But I think going into Philadelphia in sort of inclement weather, it wasn't bad. It missed it a little bit, like an hour. You know, it was raining during the day. It really wasn't raining during the game. But in a sort of inclement weather, tough environment with everything that's surrounding it and just the domination. And having the first quarter where they got, I mean, Philadelphia had two really good drives, both ending in field goals, which did make me feel like, okay, this could very well go the 49ers' way. You brought up the Dre Greenlaw, Dom kerfuffle. that incident has the potential to change an entire game. You know, from a momentum standpoint, they withstood all of it and they won 42-19.
Yeah. And, you know, they've played, basically, they haven't played the Lions. You know, I'm not sure how good the Lions are, but we'll give them the credit. They're, you know, they're right there record-wise. But the two teams in the NFC they've played who are contenders, they've beaten 42-10 and 42-19. And throwing what they did to the Jaguars, you know, one of the contenders in the AFC. And, you know, when they've played the best teams, they've dominated them. They haven't just beaten them. Just hasn't even been close. So, you know, Cincinnati was one, you know, if Joe Burrow were healthy, Cincinnati would probably be in that group. And they obviously had their issues with that. But with the teams they've played who are currently still contenders, they've been, you know, absolutely dominant in those three games. So, you know, it's hard to say right now that anyone's better than them. And, you know, when they're healthy, obviously health can change and, you know, obviously the best team doesn't always win every game, you know, so weird things can happen in a one game playoff situation, but they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. And, you know, now they really do have a legitimate shot at getting that number one seed if they don't slip up the rest of the way.
Which me and my January travel schedule is really pulling for. My rooting interest in the NFL are very much based on my travel schedule. I'm going to be very honest about that.
And that seems appropriate.
Yeah, and on Jake Moody and Michigan players. That's basically what my rooting interest goes on. But I really am just now, I almost feel like, Josh, if they don't get the number one seed, I almost feel like it's unkind. Because now I can taste it. I can taste the first round bye. I can taste the home field advantage. And then should they continue on, I can taste just having to go to Vegas for the Super Bowl, which isn't very far. So now if they don't get it, and in week, like the division round, I'm flying to Detroit, even though it's close to Ann Arbor, I'm going to feel like it was unkind.
I think the only way that trip is going to be worth it for you is if you're allowed to meet the chickens. If you meet the chickens, I think the trip to Detroit is worth it. So.
You know what? Now that you've said that, my rooting interest may have changed.
So, Jim, if Detroit is hosting the 49ers in the playoffs, Tracy needs an invite the day before the game to meet the chickens. So
I'm 100% going to stay in Ann Arbor. If it happens, I'm just going to hang out and look for those chickens and see what I need to do to meet them. That would be amazing. We talked a lot about the offense. Let's talk about defense for a little bit. Let's mainly talk about, for a minute, Charvarius Ward, who we think is just playing at such an incredible level. Leading the league with 19 passes defended. I mean, he seems to have just like risen to another level in the last month or so. He's been playing really well all season, but every week has just gotten better and better and better. And we heard from Steve Wilkes last week with him following DK Metcalf, and there was a lot of discussion as to exactly what the conversation was and who had it and all of that. But the thing that kind of stood out to me was Wilkes saying that Charvarius Ward came to him about a month ago and said, I want to do this, and has been working to that level. And it's been just kind of fun to watch him play football.
Yeah, you know, he's had a couple of tough matchups the last 2 weeks. And, you know, with A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf, those aren't the easiest receivers to go against. And he's really answered the bell on that. He's going to have, obviously, he's got DK again this week. But, yeah, no, it's been impressive. That pass breakup he had in the end zone, holding the field goal on that first drive was a huge play. And yeah, he's really lived up to his contract. You know, they paid him a lot of money and he's lived up to it. And you know, and I think we would be remiss if we did not point out that the Niners are undefeated this year when Ambry Thomas plays.
Well, we would be remiss if we didn't point that out.
Yeah, if we just point that out that it's not, yeah, you know, that the whole, you know, putting Ambry back in the lineup is really what has been the difference post-bye.
For the team. I think that might be my first question to Kyle on Wednesday. Kyle, just what are your thoughts on how this team has rallied since you put Ambry Thomas
in
the lineup? No, I think it's obvious that it's changed the game for everyone on both sides of the ball. So, I mean, would you say, how would you rate that as the big change for the team?
It's just facts, you know. When he started playing, they started playing better. So
that is facts. You know what?
Yeah.
We're just here to tell the facts. Our other Michigan player, as long as we've now brought all of them up, and by we, I mean myself. Well, I guess you brought Ambry up. Ronnie Bell had some punt returns, kickoff returns yesterday in Ray McLeod's absence. Of course, Debo had a couple that were, you know, the one we talked about that was incredible. There was one that he sort of fumbled, but not badly. I mean, if you were going to fumble, he fumbled it to a good place.
He just guided the ball out of bounds, I thought.
He guided the ball out of bounds. You know what? That's, it should say that in the stat sheet. It shouldn't say fumble. Yeah. It should say guided the ball out of bounds. I think it's a more appropriate term. But his first time doing this in the NFL, so at least it was only one guiding of the ball out of bounds and not...
He has
been a bit of a special teams ace, though. He actually has.
Yes, he's been very good. He had a big block on one of their big plays. Possibly was a hole, possibly wasn't, but wasn't called. So it was a good block. And yeah, he's done very well in special teams. And he's for a seventh round pick. He's been a good contributor as a rookie.
One thing about the 49ers, if you want to make this team as a seventh round pick or an undrafted rookie free agent, you got to be able to play special teams. That's probably true of the whole team, just that we cover this one.
Or be the highest rated quarterback in the...
Or be Brock Purdy. Those are your options. Those are your two options right there. You either have to be Brock Purdy or
contribute on special teams.
And Ronnie Bell has been good on special teams. So next up is Seattle. And I believe the 49ers per a tweet, I think both of us retweeted, can clinch a playoff spot this weekend if they win, and then they need some help along the way.
I believe they need the Vikings and Packers, one of them to lose, or both of them to tie, I believe is what it, if I remember.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, that would be something. But we wouldn't know that until Monday. The Packers don't play on Monday, so we have to wait.
It still would be, I am rooting for that.
It would be exciting. You know, if the Vikings tied on Sunday against the Raiders, the Niners win on Sunday, and then you'd have something to watch for Monday night. Like, you know, Packers tie is all you need to get the clinching.
I am rooting for that scenario. I like that. That to me sounds, it's not the most like direct route, but to me it sounds like by far the most fun route. So I personally am now totally rooting for that scenario.
There you go.
Sounds great. But then Mike LaFleur would have to lose a game in December, and that's like, well, I guess he wouldn't lose.
No, tie. Yeah, you know, it's a tie game. Right.
So game everybody wins except, of course, the Packers, who would tie.
Right.
This would be, okay, I'm all in on this.
There you go.
Well, enough about the 49ers. Let's talk about Michigan. Since we've talked about all the Michigan players, I think we should talk about the Michigan Wolverines, who mentioned previously the number one team in the country. Going to play Alabama. There's been a little bit of, you know, discussion about who was supposed to get in. Should have been Florida State, should have been Alabama. However, it's Alabama, so kind of it is what it is. I think the 49ers can definitely beat Alabama, which I stand by.
I would agree with that.
The 49ers for sure can beat Alabama. But I also think Michigan can and will beat Alabama. But I, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't paid that much attention to the Roll Tide this year, but was kind of fun to see them beat Georgia because then Michigan became number one. But what does this matchup look like? And I know it's a few weeks away, but well, first maybe we should talk about the other night and how dominant they were and how great it was to have Jim back and how perfect JJ McCarthy is.
There you go. Yeah, I think you summed that night up. Pretty much did it.
Oh, and Mikey Sammersville, of course.
He might be playing himself out of range of the 49ers. Who knows? Like, who knows how high he's going to be going in the draft now?
I know he's so good.
He's becoming the draft favorite of a lot of people already. A lot of the Twitter people are already following. You know, the NFL people who don't watch a lot of college football when they start tuning in late in the season are already falling in love with him. So,
do you think he's played himself into being a first round pick?
I don't think a first. I think he's probably too small to be a first round pick, but I do think I do think day two, it's probably going to be third round. You know, for a guy that size and mostly playing, you know, obviously he's played outside with Will Johnson now, but he's mostly a nickel guy. It's probably a third round pick, and not a second round pick. But I think he's playing himself into a day two pick for sure. I don't know why you wouldn't want him on your team.
Niners have day two picks.
Yes, they do. They have a few of them.
For those of you wondering why I care, I think we all know. But second of all, because predictable picks has been such a success in year one, I would like even more Michigan players to come and be a part of predictable picks going forward.
Yeah, I think the Niners would like that too.
I think they would, because actually pretty much everyone that's in predictable picks plays very well in subsequent games.
Yes, that is completely true. You know, Nick Bosa had a great game. The week he was in for the Ohio State game. You know, George Kittle had a couple of big plays yesterday. He was in for Iowa. So, you know, I think people are going to be lining up. They don't have any active players from Alabama, so they're not going to get anyone for that. But, maybe for the... are there any active players on Texas or Washington either?
No, but there is a coach who went to Washington.
Yes, and a coach who went to Texas.
Who's the coach who went to Texas? Oh my God, I forgot.
The coach. The coach.
I really don't. I'm like, who's? Oh, forgot. Of course, the coach who went to Texas. Yeah, I wonder if he would do predictable picks. Something tells me. But you never know. You just never know. Maybe I ask a question at the podium and disguise it and then I'm able to use it in predictable picks.
Well, maybe if they've clinched, if somehow they've clinched, because it'll be leading into week 18. So if they've clinched everything they can clinch heading into week 18, and it's not really like a high pressure game, as opposed to like, you know, playing for the top seed or playing for, you know, something, then maybe you get him in a relaxed moment off podium. Do it. Otherwise, you could just ask him who's going to win the Michigan Texas game if it happens to be that.
And yes,
that bet, yeah.
And also, so. I think if that happens to be the case, there's no one in that room, including the coach, that would be surprised that I've chosen to ask that question.
No, not at all. Yeah, I think.
In fact, I think they'd be surprised if I didn't ask that question. It would be more
shocking. Well, I would be surprised if you asked it that way. I would hope you would ask it, how many points is Michigan going to win by? But,
right.
You know.
Well, that is what predictable picks is. How many points is Michigan going to win by? Would Nick Bosa follow the rules? Jair Brown follow the rules? Now, George Kittle followed the rules when he wanted to be in it for Penn State week. For the Iowa game, he did not follow the rules, but we make an exception because George Kittle's great.
Yeah. So, and he's going to pay up on his bet this week. So,
yep. He's got you guys for the third year in a row. We'll see George Kittle sporting a Michigan shirt on social media. It's great.
Very exciting.
It is. It's very exciting and it's the most fun. And he really, a couple of years ago, before we had open locker room back, he came into his press conference wearing it and he went above and beyond. And that was great. But last year we got a great picture. This year we're going to get a good picture. And bless his heart, he's the best. So we'll give him that. What were we talking about? Mikey Samrisky.
The Alabama matchup. It's going to be tough. It's definitely, I think the way Alabama's playing, it's probably the best team Michigan's played this year. I think Alabama's playing better than Ohio State was. And, you know, obviously Michigan's schedule wasn't the toughest. It's not going to be an easy game. Nick Saban with a month prepare is not easy, but you know what? If you're going to win a national championship, you're not going to get an easy game. So you got to be good teams. So, you have to embrace it. And, it definitely will not be an easy game. But I do think that this Michigan team is good enough to beat Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think this is a better Michigan team than the last two that went to the playoff. I think they're better in the passing game, especially. And you didn't have Blake Corum last year. And I think the defense this year is a lot better than the defense last year, especially the pass rush. I think they do have the team to do it. Whether they can pull it off, we will see. But I've got confidence in them.
They can pull it off.
Okay, there we go. They will pull it off. Sorry.
They will.
It should be a great game. I like the idea it's in the Rose Bowl. The one part I was upset about with Georgia losing is I kind of like the idea of Michigan and Washington playing a traditional Rose Bowl game.
Right.
Big Ten Pac-12 Rose Bowl. But we won't get that. But, Michigan, Alabama, that's not a bad Rose Bowl.
No, it really is not. It's really not a bad Rose Bowl at all. And it'll be a big win because I am big into manifesting positivity in the universe. And so it'll be a big win. I wonder if Jim will bring the chickens.
Whether you just have to buy chickens yourself because they may not want to travel. Maybe we'll get Brian Greasy to give some JJ McCarthy some tips since Brian Greasy has experience beating Nick Saban.
That's true. When
Nick Saban was at Michigan State and he has experience winning big Rose Bowls. So maybe Brian can send a few tips over to JJ. And help him out a little bit, and we should be good.
You know what? I agree. I think we should be great. And I think J.J. McCarthy is such a different quarterback than I would say he even was a year ago at this time, that, as you mentioned earlier, the passing game has gotten so much better. I feel very, very confident. And then I would just have to discuss, did you all, well, most of you aren't going to be able to answer because the only other person on this call is Josh. but feel free to tweet it or X it at me. But when Joel Klatt asked Jim Harbaugh what it was like to be Big Ten champions 3 years in a row, and he said, bet. I mean, it may be one of my favorite things I've ever seen.
It was a great moment. It really was. It was, you know, a classic Jim Harbaugh moment, and just a perfect way to handle that. What could have been an awkward trophy ceremony that turned out very enjoyable. So,
yes. Now we had the trophy given to Zach Zinter, so that there was not the awkward moment with him and Tony Petitti, because Jim Harbaugh is a selfless man, and it's all about the players. I'm standing by that statement forever. Just want to throw that.
Yeah. It's all about the players.
It's all about the players. No. And he's a selfless man. I'm going to stand by that statement too.
Yeah. Well, you can't. No one on this call is going to argue with you on that, Tracy.
No one is going to argue with me on that. You know, it just occurred to me that the one person who might be standing, well, one of the people, but in terms of what the 49ers can control, the one person that might be standing in the way of the first round bye and home field advantage that I so desperately want, it's Jim's brother John.
Yeah, that is the game. That's their toughest game left. So, and they probably will need to win that. I'm not sure the Eagles are going to lose twice. I think the Eagles could lose once. So, yeah, obviously they need the Eagles to lose once as well. So whether that's, you know, most likely it would be at Dallas. So it's probably the toughest game this week. But yeah, but then the Niners would need to beat John Harbaugh. So, I think it's fair that, you know, if John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh are playing on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, that they split. So maybe
100%.
Yeah. So John can take the loss on Christmas and for you, and Jim can take the win on New Year's for you. And there you go. Just make you happy.
Yeah, just to make me happy. Of course, I think we all know what I care about most, and well, the one I really care about winning on any day. But
sure.
Just for the people listening, I don't want to upset anybody. Even though, again, I don't think it'll be a big shock. This is honestly like, it's just been like a crazy Michigan season. And I was about to say it's a really fun time to be a Michigan football fan, which it is. But it also has been such a crazy time to be a Michigan football fan. But Michigan versus everybody. And so next stop on the everybody tour are Nick Saban and Alabama, which feels actually kind of right in a way.
Yeah, I do think at least the Florida State fans will be on the Michigan side, not the everybody side. I think there's probably some bitterness from some people about Alabama getting in, especially from the Florida State people, that I think there'll be some people that actually will be cheering for Michigan to beat Alabama and sort of make that decision look bad. So we'll welcome any Florida State people onto the bandwagon for a game. Join us.
Be part
of the Michigan instead of the everybody's.
And I have a friend who's an SC person. She went to SC and she texted me the other day, I just became the world's biggest Michigan fan. And so
there
I
said,
welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. We will take you on. And if enough of you come on, we can be America's team then again. So
that's exactly. Speaking of which, Nick Wagner asked me yesterday if I was now the world's biggest Mizzou fan. And I had not realized that they were playing with Ohio State. So I'm also going to be a big Mizzou fan, not as big as I am of Michigan, obviously.
But right. I didn't totally appreciate their coach making a Connor Stallions joke yesterday, though. So
what did he say?
Oh, you missed that. Yeah. So he was on, I believe, during his like live interview on ESPN. You know, wait a minute, I got to take a call from Connor Stallions and try to get some intel on Ohio State or something like that.
Uncalled for.
So I'm pulling for Missouri, but you know, let's stop with the bad jokes here.
I might root for nobody. Yeah. That's his second joke he's made among the. By the way, that's the second
time he's
comment like that. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm rooting for nobody in that game. Plus, Ohio State is completely broken, and like half the team is in the transfer portal, so I don't even know that they're gonna have enough players to play in the game.
Yes, that is true.
I asked a question today on Twitter, and people liked it, retweeted it. Nobody answered the question, so I'm gonna ask you. Once you enter the transfer portal, you're not finishing out the year at your school. It's just like, peace out, see ya, have a great life.
Well, in terms of like classes or in terms of football?
I'm both.
Well, classes you are. Like you can still, I assume those guys are going to try to probably finish their semester and get credits, I would think.
Okay.
At least some of them. The track sport is just more of a timing thing. I think you can play. I'm not sure. I don't know when the transfer portal timing is. It might not overlap with games, so maybe you can't. But,
I guess how can you do that, really? Like, if you're Kyle McCord, you're like, I'm going into the portal, but I'll come back and play in the bowl game feels kind of weird.
It feels weird. Yeah. I don't think they would play, but I do think that they will, you know, I guess if you're in a position to pass all your classes and all you have to do is take the finals, you probably will take the finals and get your credits and do that. Like, the semester is basically over, so.
That's true.
So I think, and I think the transfer, you probably need a certain number of, you know, to be in good standing or something academically too. So I do think, most of them finish out the semester of classes, but I don't think they will be playing. I don't think, that would be kind of weird.
I'm curious who they're going to root for. That's my question. Are they going to root for Ohio State? Are they going to root for Missouri? I don't care enough.
My guess is they like their teammates is my guess. So.
Yes.
They might not like the coaches. Maybe they don't like the coaches. Maybe they don't like some of the fans, but they do like their teammates. So I would think.
That's true. But,
yeah.
So, I'm not going to do a real big investigative piece on this.
Yeah.
A thought I had in my head.
I did see that Kyle, out of the top five quarterbacks from that high school recruiting class, four of them have left their school.
Oh.
Kyle McCord's the fourth now to be leaving his school. The only one who stayed is JJ McCarthy. So there you go.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, I can't remember. Quinn Ewers at Texas. It was Caleb Williams. Started Oklahoma. Quinn Ewers started Ohio State, went to Texas. Caleb Williams started Oklahoma, went to USC. I'm forgetting one. And then Kyle McCord and then JJ McCarthy who stayed. And those who stay will be champions.
I was just going to say that. Those who stay will be champions. Spectacular. Josh, this has been really maybe the best podcast ever.
Second best. The one coming up on January 9th will be the best podcast.
That will be the best podcast ever. And can't wait.
So tune in. Everyone tune in the week of January 8th for the podcast that will be recorded on January 9th. It'll be the greatest Tracy Sandler show you've ever heard.
Guaranteed. It'll be the greatest show you've ever heard.
Yes.
You will never, you will not see, hear anyone as excited as we will be talking about that. When I got to the press box on Sunday in Philadelphia, Ann Killian said, "Tracy, did you hear Michigan's number one?" I was like, "What?" And then Mike Silver said, "The cool thing though is Tracy doesn't really care either way." And I said, "You have brought an emotional support sweatshirt with me out to the bar in Philly."
I did appreciate that. I thought that was very good. Yeah, you got your good luck outfit, but then you need your emotional support sweatshirt. So,
well, because if the game wasn't going well and I needed to change, like I couldn't go back to the hotel. I mean, I could have, but that would have been a lot. So, therefore, I had everything.
You got to have a backup. Yeah.
I had to have a backup. So, I had.
Like, you need a backup coach. You need Sherwin Moore as a backup coach. You need a backup sweatshirt.
So. And my dad said, Silver said, "What's an emotional support sweatshirt?" So, I explained it, and I'm still not sure he totally got it, but it was very important to me to have it.
Yeah. You need it. I was watching from home, so I had options if I needed to.
Right,
change. Yeah. If it was a bad first half, I could just alter outfits if I needed to. So, but yeah, no, you need to have options.
Yep, depth. You really do.
Depth in clothing is very important on a football Saturday.
And big shout out to my dear friend Patty, who is, you know, social media for the 49ers. She's unbelievable and incredible at her job. And she was my emotional support friend who came out with me. We met up with a friend of mine from college who actually works for the Eagles. So that was really cool. And we went to a Michigan bar to watch the game. And she was just the best wing woman on this ever. So big shout out to Patty.
Great job, Patty. There you go.
Great job, Patty. Josh, please let everybody know where they can find you.
Josh GBAWP on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And I'm there. I'll be tweeting fun Michigan facts all the time.
Yes.
So I stay away from the non-fun ones. And there you go.
And I appreciate that at least a few times a week, I get a Michigan fact. Like, you tweet one out just for me. And I
There you go. So always thinking about you, Tracy.
Appreciate that. Bet. You guys, we are brought to you by Bet Online, oddly enough.
There you go.
We're brought to you by Bet Online. You can find me on Twitter or X at TracyFGSN, on Instagram and TikTok at Tracy Sandler. If you guys like what you heard, and I'm sure that you did because it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a super positive review. And I'll talk to you next time. And Josh will be back January 9th to celebrate the Michigan National Champion. Bye all.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Join me, Dr. Panico, with Cindy Lauper and Chef Michelle Bernstein to talk about plaque psoriasis and psoriatic arthritis, the potential connection and risk of developing permanent joint damage.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis 300 milligram dose and adults with active psoriatic arthritis 150 milligram dose. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for TB, serious allergic reactions, severe skin reactions that look like eczema, and an increased risk of infections, some fatal, have occurred. It may lower your ability to fight infections, so tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if IBD symptoms develop or worsen. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTIX or cosentix.com/Cindy.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.